So time blocking your schedule, huge. Put it into Excel. One column for direct, one column for indirect, and look at your time. You're going to probably start to see right off the bat that you are wasting time on things and you're actually not optimizing yourself. So the quick fix is to go get somebody to take that off of you.
Welcome to Life After Corporate, your ultimate guide for making the leap from corporate leader to entrepreneur. I'm Deb Boulanger, entrepreneur, executive leader, and founder of the Launch Lab for Women Entrepreneurs. This is your time to break through the glass ceiling once and for all and get your ticket to the C-suite. Come back each week to get the leading strategies, advice, and tools that will give you the skills and confidence you need to replace your corporate paycheck. Are you ready? Let's go.
Welcome back to another episode of Life After Corporate, my friend. And if you're new to our show, welcome home. This is where you get the real advice, the straight scoop of what it really takes to build a business from scratch. And you don't want to go it alone. So today we're talking with my friend and colleague, Laura Workman, and we're going to show you the path to your first hire. And whether that's bringing on freelance talent to your team, which is likely your very first step, or maybe you're ready to bring on your first full-time hire, we're going to talk about how can you tell when you're ready, how to prepare for your very first hire, and how you can set your people up for success. So with that, welcome Laura Workman. Laura is a leadership expert with over a decade of experience building high-performance teams to scale. She is the founder of Thrive Performance Coaching, and she's passionate about helping small business owners optimize their teams. She has a unique approach that emphasizes positive and inspirational coaching, bridging the gap between generations in the workplace and reducing burnout. And Laura and I met at a mastermind for women entrepreneurs, and it was like an immediate magnetic connection. So Laura, I am so honored to introduce you to the Life After Corporate listeners.
Yeah. Hey everyone, Deb, I literally this morning, I was ecstatic to come on here because we just talked about this, your energy, how we met, just being able to collaborate. This is going to be an awesome session.
And I'm so glad you said that because, you know, no one gets there alone on this journey. So we're talking about hires today, but who you surround yourself with and the people that are your peers, the people that you can lean on for advice or referrals or people that you can hire that you trust. I think what's been so fantastic about the group that we both belonged to last year is that there's so many people in that community who I now trust and I would hire to, you know, help me get to my next level of success or who I would bring in to coach people who are in the accelerator. So we brought you in as a guest faculty for the Six-Figure Accelerator and people were wowed by everything you shared and you just met people where they are. So I know you work with larger companies typically, but the advice that you're going to share today are for those who are just getting started. So tell us a little bit about your life after corporate journey first.
Yeah, it's like you said it perfectly, right? It's going to be the clients that I work with, the clients that I service, but I'm alongside this journey with you and everybody who you work with. So this is real, live, raw experience. So my journey here is I had, you know, I'm sure like all of us, I had that nagging feeling that kept pulling at me where it was like, I need to do something more. You know, I continue to grow in my organization. I continue to grow in my role. I'm developing, but I don't know if masses in the capacity that I'm at with, you know, bringing on more business, building more teams is the direction. And that's really when I kind of stepped back and was very intentional to lean in and say, what is the next step? And for me, that was really leaning into my faith and being devoted to taking my God-given talents and bringing them to the world, especially during the pandemic. So like most of us, I was a part of the Great Resignation where we have to come in and we've got to put in that resignation. It was hard. It was a very hard journey. And I was at a point as a business professional, I was burnt out, you know, burnt out from moving through that. So not only am I working myself through a life transition, I'm stepping into the world of entrepreneurship. I'm also working myself through burnout, which I didn't recognize was to the level it was at that point. And I took that leap of faith and said, okay, we're going to do this and we're going to start a company. And I envisioned that, you know, this is an opportunity for me. My first goal was I want to impact 1 million lives. And how do I do that? I do that through leaders and I help fill their cups right now because I know how it feels to be burned out. And I give them the tools, the resources, the inspiration that they then can go work with their teams and then work with their, you know, their end consumer, right? So my journey was make the decision, lean in, that uncomfortable feeling, you got to stick with it and go, resign from my position, tears. It was like a funeral having to tell my teams and work through that process and be able to make sure that they're set up for success. And then step into what we're going to talk about right here is honestly a little bit lonely of a journey of solopreneur, where I'm used to having 100 people that report to me and I'm helping to, you know, grow them. And now it's just me. So that's how I got here.
I just learned something. I had no idea that it's so recent for you, because when I met you, I thought, oh my God, this woman is really growing this business. She's got it all together. And it just goes to show you that, you know, we're here with you, you know, the listeners to this show or whoever's watching this clip right now. It's that we're here with you, going through the daily machinations of entrepreneurship. And whether you're just getting started or, you know, whether you've already, you're already mid six figures or hit seven figures, good for you. It's lonely and it's a journey and it's an evolution. And things are always changing. I mean, so much has changed, Laura, since you launched your business. You launched during the pandemic. Now we're in this time of economic uncertainty. Before we dive into the topic, I'm just curious, like, what are the top two or three things that you've learned about yourself in this process?
Wow. That's a loaded one. That's a really great one. Because yeah, I started my business in 2021. So just from 2021 to where we are right now, and I own a business in my early 20s, like I had that experience and I've worked with business owners, but I don't know if I was fully prepared with how much I was going to be facing, especially think about what we do, leadership coaching and consulting. So we had the transition of the war. We had this, we had that, inflation, people can't afford, people are quitting. It was like, oh, okay, let's work on this right now. One of the greatest things that I learned is my level of resilience, truly. I was like, I got this. The other thing is I have grown so much with my strategic thinking because I'm one person and I have, you know, over 50 businesses that I coach and their teams. And how on earth does one person, and I've got my team now, but how does one person multiply themselves? I had to be so effective with my time. I had to be so strategic in my, you know, coaching one-on-ones with my clients, how I set up my group programs, and really constantly optimizing my business so that I would be 100% my best version of myself and I could make the most of my time to be able to help the masses. So resilience, I think for all of us. And then secondly, honestly, my strategic thinking. I thought it was pretty good before, but wow, I got tested. We're all getting tested.
You know, it's such a testament to be in business 3 years and supporting 50 clients, you know, so full stop. That is extraordinary. That is exceptional results. You know, I almost want to put a disclaimer on that, you know, don't try this at home. Or don't expect you're going to get 50 clients. So resiliency, of course, right? So there's ups and downs. What was working can stop working. There's so much that we don't have control over, the outside economy, the outside, you know, whether or not we're in a pandemic or inflation or recession or people are quiet quitting or the great resignation. I mean, you name it. there's always change in the outside world. So how you manage, and you mentioned faith, right? So faith is an anchor and an inspiration. And so that's where, you know, you need to have something where you're getting your strength from, where you're filling your own cup. But strategic, would love to hear from you. Like, what were, when you say strategic, what do you mean by that? Like, how did you apply strategic thinking into growing your business this way?
Yeah, it is, you know, it's funny too. A lot of it is real life experience, trial and error. And what it comes down to is you had said that when we have these businesses, we're going through, you know, we're going through so much and we have to lean on our anchor. So for me, there is so much in my business that I have been able to apply previous life experiences. I bet there's some really hard things, you know, and raising children and surviving raising children, all of that good jazz that I really was able to look back and say, okay, Lori, you were able to work through this as a working professional and mom. You were able to grow organizations. You were able to do this. Think back, how did you do it? Okay, let's apply this to right now. And that anchor is really, you have so many tools in your toolbox. Sometimes we forget to go back and go pull them out. Instead, we're just constantly reaching for the next tool, right? That shiny object, that platform, the system that's going to fix something. So being more strategic to say, let me lean into my life experiences. What worked? What didn't work? Let me lean into my professional experiences. What worked? What didn't work? Let me analyze the situation and let me become obsessed with asking myself questions. So I teach this to the leaders. I'm not going to say we're going to start losing our marbles, but we have to ask ourselves questions. I'm in the situation and I'm stuck here. What next step do I need to do? How do I do this? How do I do that? Where should I lean? And by asking yourself questions after question after question, you start to get so granular that then you're identifying really probably what a root cause is, what a roadblock is, and then you start looking at it more strategically. You know, and I wish we had an example right now, that'd be easier. But then you're going to look at that situation and say, okay, this is how I got here. These are the challenges that I'm facing. Let's do a SWOT analysis of it. You know, these are the threats. This is what I'm working on. Now, how do I get myself out of it? So asking questions, going back to your toolbox that so many of us just forget that we already have, then looking at what now resources do we need to bring in, or how do we need to improve as a business owner to get us through to the next level?
I love that. And what I love most about it is you didn't get your knickers in a twist and make it mean something about you, right? You know, so often we can hit a roadblock and instead of saying, and being curious, like, well, let's do a SWOT analysis. Let's be strategic. Let's figure out why this happened. It's like we make it mean something about ourselves, like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing, or I'm an imposter. And so you're able to like coach yourself. Maybe it's such a natural thing for you right now that you don't even notice it. It's just how you operate. It's your operating system. It's like you go to the strategic and say, okay, what did I like best? What next time? How do I want to operate differently?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a great point. Like I just learned that. You're right. I just go into this natural rhythm, but it's I conditioned myself to be here. It didn't come naturally. I had to be a student and I had to be willing to learn and be willing to be vulnerable and be willing to fall on my face and be like, that really sucked. I don't want to do that one again. And this is why I'm up at 3 o'clock in the morning. One of the things that personally helps me is going back to that anchor. When I get into that moment where I have to strategically think, there are a couple things for me that I surround myself, my environment with. It's not people. So like for me, it's my faith, right? So I have like two songs and one of them is, this is how I fight my battles. I will put that song on, stick my AirPods in, and I'm like, this is how I fight my battles. And for me, it's, Lord, this is how I'm going to fight this battle. So the imposter syndrome, those thoughts that go through our mind, well, you don't know how to run a business. You don't know how to do that. You're not meant to be here. Go back to your job. Those are thoughts all of us hear. So, and I'm getting my little goosebumps. Lord's like, keep talking, Laura, keep talking. But when I have like a song like that, my anchor playing, I can stay in the moment, in tune, and I can fight those fears. so that I can have clarity in my thinking. Because every entrepreneur faces that. Even the ones like me, I'm a very confident individual. The ones that show up so confident, they've got everything together. I'm not doing that one. But they're like, that ain't me. I tell the bad stuff. They're like, I hit, you know, seven figures. They're not telling you the battles that they're fighting behind the scenes. And we have to remind solopreneurs and new entrepreneurs that everyone's got the same shadows. We all have them. They're there.
We all have them. They're all there. I love that. That's such brilliant advice. We've just given you permission to feel all the feels and think all the thoughts. But what's most important is that you have a tool belt. And whether your tool belt is based on faith or whether your tool belt is, I mean, we've had so many conversations with people on this podcast about the importance of faith, the importance of believing in something bigger than yourself. And that's a constant reminder for me when I start to feel like it's a struggle. I'm like, oh, Deb, you're like relying on your own humanity here, you know, and as a human, you can only muscle through so far. So relying on your strategic advisor, you know, whether it's your faith in God, whether it's your reliance on the universe or your internal wisdom, your source energy, whatever that is, there's a powerful influence at play here. And this isn't about spirituality here in this podcast episode today, but you can't help but talk about entrepreneurship and that it is a lonely journey. It is isolating. You need to surround yourself with people like Laura and me and others like us so that you know that it's normal to fall down and that you have a tool belt, you have tools accessible to you. And if you don't know what your tools are, then, you know, reach out to Laura, reach out to me. We'll help you with tools to help lift yourself up and identify, you know, what is it I need to do now? So thank you for that vulnerability and sharing.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about hiring because, you know, it is lonely and CEO can mean chief everything officer when you first get started. And it's not a place that's going to serve you well longer term. So just because you can do something doesn't mean you should. Personally, I have a good eye, but I am not a graphic designer and I have no intention to ever pretend that I'm a graphic designer. And there's so many other things, finance, you know, there are certain things that I don't love doing that I'll procrastinate doing. So how can you tell when you're ready to hire? And more importantly, how do you prepare yourself for that first hire?
Yeah, absolutely. This is my jam. Love talking about this. So I would love to share mistakes that I made. And it's not mistakes and the people. It's just shotgunning some decisions. And I had to pay for it financially. You know, it did stunt my growth a little bit. It did kind of take me back because just like you, we care so much about whomever we bring into our company. You have to take care of your people first. And one of the things that I had done, and I see this happen so much with solopreneurs, is we get to a point where everything feels overwhelming and stressful. And we're working at 3 a.m. We're working nonstop. We're losing the fun. We're losing the relationships. You know, it's our business is affecting everything in our personal life. And we're just like, I just need to hire somebody. Somebody needs to come in here and just relieve the stress. And we feel like it's just going to immediately go out the window. Well, that's false hope. So let's just nix that right here. Yes, you may need the stress, but you have to become an expert of your business to know when that time is. And just like you said, knowing your zone of genius, knowing what you enjoy doing, what you want to do. I just literally had this conversation with a video editor. And she said, would you like to learn how to do this? No, not at this season of my life, probably in the future, but no, I just want to pay you to do it and talk to me in 3 years. And I was okay saying that. So we have to really one stop and do a self-assessment. What lights me up doing? Do I enjoy doing sales? You're going to have to in the beginning. Do I love doing service delivery? Do I like doing graphic design? All of that. Okay. I learned something that I wish I learned in the beginning is because we're all coaches and consultants and we think we are selling our services, right? I'm selling leadership coaching and consulting services and a program. Deb, you're selling your program, you're selling services. Well, we have to reframe that and this will help you out so much. We are actually selling time. So when we stop and think of that, we are selling time for each one of our businesses. Time servicing directly our clients is tied to revenue, okay? And what happens with solopreneurs is they say, I'm talking to the client so much that I'm doing this and I'm doing that. The first thing we have to do is that assessment. Where is your time being spent? So one thing that's really helpful for me and for clients that I work with is going through your calendar and time blocking and categorizing your direct client time and your indirect client time. What is tied to revenue and what is tied to your back end office? Okay. From there, if you see that, you know, you're trying to work on, I'll tell you my stuff. You're trying to work on your program and the graphics and you're spending 3 hours on it because you're a perfectionist and you're just like, oh my word, I'm valued at this much money. This is my time with my clients, but I could just hire somebody for this. Let me go put this into the bucket and consider this as something that needs to be outsourced. Okay. What can happen is when you're overwhelmed, you make quick decisions that you need to bring people on. And when you were making quick decisions and then we're not setting them up for success, we could start outsourcing. We could bring on a VA or we could bring somebody on. We went and shotgun that way too quickly because we don't have clarity on exactly what we need. Okay. So time blocking your schedule, huge. Put it into Excel. One column for direct, one column for indirect. And look at your time. You're going to probably start to see right off the bat that you are wasting time on things and you're actually not optimizing yourself. So the quick fix is to go get somebody to take that off of you. Okay. Then from there, you can be able to assess, okay, it's a VA. It's this person. It's that person. And now you have more clarity to be able to tell that individual what it is that you need support on. Because I've talked to many VAs and we call them up and we're like, help me, please. I need so much help, like 40 hours a week. I can't afford it, but I need it. And I need this, this, and they're like, what are you doing? I don't know, everything. But this VA, it's true. And then the VA is like, can you please give me clear instructions? Or a team member, can you please give me clear instructions? Okay. Yeah. So we've got to start with us first and really do the work right there. Then the second piece of it is we got to document. We have to write down the systems. Maybe in a voice memo. I do that all the time. I put something in a voice memo. Okay, I'm going to go through this process. Step one, I'm doing this. Step two, step three, step four. And then I just go and I open up a Google Doc and I just transcribe it and it's done. There's basically the foundation of a standard operating procedure. Now I have one task that I've been able to identify. These are my expectations. This is how I do it. Now I'm going to put that over into the bucket to possibly outsource or to bring on a team member and they have a foundation. Now my goal probably is I find somebody that can do it faster and better than me, right? But now I've been able to take my overwhelmed state. I've been able to put it on paper and now I can articulate it and now I can give them an expected or a desired outcome. This is the process. It takes me 1 hour. I'm exhausted. Could you please tell me how to optimize, automate, whatever I need to do with this process?
Yeah.
Think of how much more you're setting somebody up for success.
You know, and for those of you who don't know, a VA is a virtual assistant. I think most people do, but if you don't, that's what VA stands for. And yes, and so much can be handled by automation. And there's so much that we don't know that you also want to hire very capable people who can bring systems and processes to the table that you might not even be aware of. So that's so powerful. And, you know, for someone like me, and my VA knows this, I am not detail oriented. So I had to hire someone who was very operationally astute to build my standard operating procedures for me. And so that's possible too. You know, if operations isn't your jam, is that you can hire someone to say, hey, I need you to document our standard operating procedures. So virtual assistant is typically the first hire. So now you've hired a VA, you know that this is the person that you need, you've documented the tasks that you want them to handle. How do you set them up for success?
Mm-hmm. Communication, absolutely. Right from the beginning, You have to have communication standards that you are going to adhere to. Your leader, whether this is a contractor or you're bringing somebody onto your team, you really need to look at what is basically my operational cadence, okay? So we're going to start and we're going to create this list of what the expectations are and what the expected outcomes are. And at that moment, bringing on somebody new, communicate what your, like you said, your strengths and weaknesses, but also communicate your communication style to them. You know, I am more direct. For me, I'm direct, but I'm a high I am my disc proof, but I also am like, hey, how are you? I could also be like, you know, somebody might not like my energy at 8 o'clock in the morning. So this is my energy. This is how I effectively communicate. How do I communicate with you? Can you please tell me what the best way, you know, that you would like to receive that? Okay. The next step is we have to put that system in place. We have to decide, are we going to communicate once a week? Are we going to have a Trello or an Asana board or ClickUp and we work off of that and we communicate with each other daily or every other day? If I am concerned with where the project is moving, I'm going to reach out to you and I'm going to schedule a 15-minute chat for us to have a conversation for more clarity. At the end of the week, I would love for you to report back to me your tasks that were completed, areas that you might be stuck, and resources that you need from me. And I will respond back to you by Monday at 12 o'clock noon with that information for you. There has to be a cadence there with checkpoints on when you're going to move through the project, how you effectively operate in your zone of genius, and you have to understand how they operate in their zone of genius.
That's perfect. I mean, wow, I don't set such strong expectations with my team, and I know that's a weakness of mine, and so I end up hiring people who are really self-starters, but it's still very, very important to ask, how do you like to be communicated with? And these are my expectations. And what were those three check-in questions again?
So it could be, how do we set them up for success in their zone of genius? How do they like to be communicated? And then set up the parameters of when you all are going to communicate.
And on the weekly check-in, it's where are you? What's not working? And what do you need?
Yeah, absolutely. So I am a huge fan of creating success lists. So I talked to so many business owners about this. People don't want to be micromanaged, right? And just like you said, you're hiring self-starters. But we also do need to have clarity on how we're all working together because you also are learning from each other. So if you were to do like a daily communication, it could be something like your success list. What is the one thing that we're going to accomplish today? What's the one thing you're going to focus on? What do you need from me? And this is where I'm going to focus my attention.
That's fantastic. I personally like Voxer. So yeah. I have a team chat on Voxer. So that's how I set up. This is what we're focused on today and what we need from each other. How do you tell when it's time to bring someone on full time? So The typical things we outsource are admin, sales, sometimes social media marketing, finance. Those tend to be our first hires. Mm-hmm. How can you tell when it's time to bring someone onto the team full time? Because that's a scary transition for many solopreneurs, because now it's a different relationship. It's not like we're contracting to work together. Anyone can break the contract within so many days' notice. But when you bring someone on your team, there's an additional sense of responsibility. There's an additional cost with employment tax and all of that. How can you tell when it's the right time to add a full-time hire?
Yeah, absolutely. And really quick, because I thought of a suggestion too that would be really great with what we previously talked about when you said Voxer. One of the things that's really important is that we understand the different adult learning styles. So let's say we have it to where we're not getting results from a Voxer message, right? That's an audio message. It could be because your learner is a visual learner. So that's a great thing to ask them. Hey, I operate with Voxer. If you're verbally, you know, if you have an audio message coming through, you know, and you apply this information, what would be great then? You shoot me back a message and you bullet point the top three things that I set in there. And then that could be your list and your expectations. So little side note, because that's a big one where so many leaders really have a lot of challenges. So let's go through.
Good point.
Let's go through contracting versus bringing on an employee. First, the mentality is an employee, that's an investment. you are bringing on an investment. This is making the decision. This is going to be my person that is going to help me build my legacy and take it to the next level. A contractor, you know, that's your cost of goods sold. You're bringing that on so that you can deliver and focus on your business. When you're ready to up level, I honestly, there's no cookie cutter here. You have to say, I am now ready to up level my organization, and I am now ready to invest in people that are going to help work me out of a job, and they're going to help me build my legacy. You have to get into a mental state first. The second thing is you have to know your finances. So we talked about this before. So many, you know, solopreneurs, like, we do our sales budgets, but we're not actually doing a cash flow budget. So I know you and I love Profit First. We've read a couple of books. You got to know the numbers. If you don't, if this is not an area of expertise, then maybe one person that you're missing is a micro CFO that can come on your team. I have one. And they are that professional and sounding board to say, you are now at a point where you can afford it. You are not at a point. Go sell some more business. So that right there, I think professionally and personally, you have to be in alignment. The next thing is you really have to decide with a contractor, are you expecting this person to be an employee? Are you crossing the line? Right? Because there's a difference here. So are you pinging them? Are you brainstorming with them? Are you just like bringing them into your company? Well, then it sounds like you probably have an employee, not a contractor. So you have to make that decision as well. When you're ready, when you've got mindset, finances in place, you know what your sales budget is because now you're responsible for putting food on the table for somebody. When you're at that point, that's where you need to move over into setting them up for success and creating like a success profile. And you guys can reach out to me, find me on LinkedIn. I'm doing videos on this. I love it. I'm doing trainings today. You need to create the success roadmap for that individual. How much revenue do they need to make sure that they're bringing in? How are they optimized? What are their expectations? And now you need to take that accountability and move it to the next step. Did I answer the question? Because there's so much.
You did. You did. And there's, you know, in acknowledgement of the time that we have left, you said, how much revenue are they bringing in? Now, if they're not a salesperson, are you counting on other people on the team to be revenue producing or somehow contributing to revenue? How does that work?
Yeah, it's a good one. So in the beginning of our conversation, because this is what I learned, we're selling time. So a great activity is one of my team members, she's focused in client service delivery. Okay, she's phenomenal. We just had a conversation this morning and I was like, we've got to focus on optimizing our time. So for instance, she has in her calendar every activity that is directly related to revenue and driving client success. Okay, so now I can go and look and say, okay, this individual is able to handle a book of 30 hours per week, all directly related to revenue. Now let me go look at the clients that she's servicing, the programs. Now let me go tie that to how much are we bringing in with revenue. That's how I've learned to do it with that, because it's the same thing. I ran into that problem where I was like, you have to sell. And they're like, I'm servicing. Like, how do I sell? Okay, well, hold on a second. They're selling by raving clients, right? They're getting results. Mm-hmm. They're collecting wins for testimonials. They're asking for referrals. They are renewing clients. And how much time that they're spending making sure that your clients are satisfied and getting results, that ties to revenue. So that's a great way that I do it. And then I say, okay, this person, let's say $50,000 a year, then they can handle a book of $200,000 and they can maintain it self-sufficiently on their own.
Fantastic. So you have a 4X metric for the people on your team. So you can handle a book of business of 200K if you're at 50K. Fantastic. Anything else? You know, just one more thing that typically trips people up when they're making their first full-time hire?
They're making their interview process very transactional. So what I mean by that is it is just like, hey, Deb, I'm Laura. I'm hiring for this. Do you have experience? This is what I need. Okay, great. You're hired. Then they bring somebody in and they realize they're not bought into your vision. They're not a great cultural fit. you haven't learned about their behaviors, their personal attributes, their competencies, and now you have to go and hold, I don't like to say accountable, but you have to hold somebody accountable and influence them. And now you're stuck that you might have made the wrong hire. So stepping back, learning how to properly hire, learning how to communicate your vision, your expectations, learning that individual first, and then their competencies and capabilities, then bringing them on and having a very strong onboarding process. And that is the key to success with bringing on a team member.
I don't want to bring on a team member without you, Laura. After listening to you, I'm like, oh my God, I need Laura to get me, whip me into shape to be ready to bring on full-time hires. And I so appreciate you sharing your wisdom with our listeners here today. You mentioned LinkedIn is the right place to follow you. We will drop your LinkedIn profile link in the show notes. How else can people get in touch with you or find out more about how to work with you?
Absolutely. Thank you. And even too, if y'all have any questions, reach out. I am just like Deb and I love networking. My website is laurawerkman.com. LinkedIn website, you got me. We'll be able to get connected and make sure you guys have some resources too. Thanks, Deb. This was fun.
This was so much fun. I love hanging out with you. I always learn so much every time we're together. Thank you for sharing your wisdom with the Life After Corporate listeners here today. And that's it for today, my friends. We will see you next time. Have a great one.
Thanks for listening, my friend. If you enjoyed this show, please head over to iTunes and subscribe and leave us a review. And be sure to hop over to the Life After Corporate Facebook group and join other growing entrepreneurs to get weekly tips on how to create more money and meaning doing work you love.